Radio Prague News. Prime Minister Petr Nečas has said the Czech government will not set a target for euro adoption. The Visegrad Group states have warned the Ukrainian leadership that its EU hopes could suffer as a result of the imprisonment of former Prime Minister Yulia Tymoshenko. And Ladislav Batora, a high-placed, controversial civil servant at the Education Ministry, has announced his resignation. Czech Prime Minister Petr Nečas has said the Czech government will not set a target for euro adoption. Speaking after Friday's meeting of the Visegrad Group in Prague, Mr. Nečas said the latest developments in the eurozone indicated a shift from a monetary alliance to a debt union, which did not invite further expansion. The eurozone's debt crisis was one of the main issues on the agenda of a meeting of heads of government of the Visegrad Four, the Czech Republic, Hungary, Poland and Slovakia in Prague. Slovakia alone was represented by its ambassador after the collapse of the country's government earlier this week over its failure to approve the expansion of the Eurozone Rescue Fund. The Visegrad Group states also warned the Ukrainian leadership that its EU hopes could suffer as a result of the imprisonment of former Prime Minister Yulia Tymoshenko. Prime Minister Nečas said that while the Visegrad Group supported Ukraine's pro-Western orientation, it was hard to imagine the EU ratifying an association agreement with Ukraine while the country's opposition leader was imprisoned. On Tuesday, Tymoshenko was sentenced to 7 years in prison for having transgressed her powers as Prime Minister. Ladislav Batora, a high-placed, controversial civil servant at the Education Ministry, has announced his resignation from the post of Deputy Chancellor. Mr. Batora, who has come under heavy criticism for his ultra-conservative, nationalist views, said he could no longer respect his promise not to comment on political affairs and indicated he wanted to be actively engaged in public life. Mr. Batora, who precipitated a government crisis with some of his remarks earlier this year and was forced to leave his post as head of the Ministry's Human Resources Department, has been accused by the ruling Topo 9 party of spreading fascist views. In 2006, he made an unsuccessful bid for a seat in the lower house, running on the ticket of the extremist National Party. Romani representatives from around the Czech Republic are holding a national conference in Brno to debate plans for the establishment of a Romani party, which would defend the minority's interests on a regional and national level. Calls for a Romani party have strengthened in the wake of growing racial tension in the north, where a high unemployment rate and rising crime have triggered a wave of anti-Romani sentiment. Some municipalities have moreover created a system of residential and social policies that essentially displace Romanis to the community's outskirts. According to available statistics, there are around 400 slums in the Czech Republic, with an estimated 80,000 inhabitants, predominantly from the Roma minority. And finally, a quick look at the weather forecast. The coming days should be clear to partly cloudy, with day temperatures between 7 and 11 degrees Celsius. I'm Daniela Lazarová, and that's the end of the news.
Hello, this is Radio Prague, the international service of Czech radio. My name is Jan Richter. Coming up in today's show, a controversial ultra-conservative figure Ladislav Batora is leaving the education ministry, indicating plans to establish a new party. Then we'll have a roundup of the latest business news, and later we talk to the British theatre director David Parimer, who has directed a series of plays by Harold Pinter in Prague. All that and more coming up, so please stay tuned. The highly controversial ultra-conservative activist Ladislav Batora has announced he's leaving his post at the Education Ministry. Earlier this year, his stint at the ministry became a source of upheaval on the Czech political scene that almost brought down the government. With backing from his boss, the Education Minister, and even from President Václav Klaus, Mr. Batora was allowed to stay at the ministry in return for a promise he would stay away from politics. But on Friday, Ladislav Batora told reporters he was quitting as he was no longer willing to keep that promise and wanted to be actively engaged in public life. On the line now is political commentator Jiří Pehe. Hello, and thank you for joining us. So, Mr. Pehe, first of all, why do you think Ladislav Batra stepped down now when the pressure on him from within the coalition as well as the NGO sector seemed to be waning?
Well, I think that Mr. Batra has realized that his tenure at the Ministry of Education has brought to him a lot of attention, which he can now use for political objectives, and the usefulness of his staying at the ministry has outlived itself. So I think it's a political move on his part. He has gained a lot of visibility, and this is also, I think, what the purpose of this whole project was.
During his appearance in front of the media today, Mr. Batra hinted he might be involved in the establishment of a new political party which could rely on the support of President Václav Klaus. In your opinion, is that the most likely scenario?
Well, I think that Mr. Batra knows what he's doing. He's certainly leaving the ministry because he has another project in mind. We have to wait and see what the party that he wants to establish will be all about and who will actually support it. But certainly Mr. Batra spent several months at the ministry with the purpose of gaining visibility, and this I think has been achieved now, and I fully expect him to become politically active now.
What is your estimate of potential voter support for such a party that would be probably conservative, Catholic and anti-European?
I think that a party like that will be a difficult project in the Czech Republic. We have seen in the past that Czech voters are not entirely convinced that an extreme right party or a very nationalistic party is what they want to support. So I think that a party like that will have a difficult time, even with possible support coming from the president of the country. But we have to, again, we have to wait and see. We know that projects that could be compared to what Mr. Batra has in mind has succeeded in Hungary, Slovakia, Poland, and perhaps something like that may happen in the Czech Republic as well.
That was political analyst Jiří Pehe. Thank you very much and goodbye.
Thank you.
We'll be, of course, closely following any developments concerning Ladislav Batra and President Václav Klaus. But now I'm joined in the studio by Jan Wellinger with the latest business news.
Thank you, Jan. There is new speculation that the Russian consortium of Atomstroy Export, reactor manufacturer Gidropress, and the Russian-owned Czech nuclear engineering firm Škoda JS is most likely to secure a tender on the expansion of the country's Temelín nuclear power plant. The deal is reportedly worth an estimated 500 billion crowns and is to take place next year. An anonymous source who claimed access to a classified report by the Czech intelligence agency BIS told news website Aktualně.cz the Russians were offering, quote, know-how and maximum participation, end quote, although security concerns remain. According to the source, the report cited French firm Areva as being out of the game. If true, only the U.S.-based firm Westinghouse will remain the major contender. One reason the source suggests, Czech Prime Minister Petr Nečas was invited to Washington this month to meet with President Barack Obama. Meanwhile, the Czech government's commissioner for the Temelín expansion, Václav Bartuška, has confirmed that documentation about the deal will be sent to the three potential bidders. Offers are to be submitted next summer, and the winner is to be announced in 2013.
This week, sources reported that Russian foreign direct investment in the former communist bloc has seen an uptick, with the Czech Republic being among those benefiting significantly. The English-language weekly The Prague Post cited investment advisors as saying they had seen increased interest in traditional sectors as well as emerging fields. While Russian investment in the Czech Republic is relatively small compared to some areas, some have suggested that the numbers are misleading, with funds being routed from tax havens, and that the apparent uptick in portfolio levels could be a sign of bigger things to come. Most often, Russian direct investment has ties to real estate, such as projects in Karlovy Vary. But areas which are reportedly increasingly attractive include bio and nanotechnology.
Czech Railways has reported it will sell off property, including storage areas and older buildings, along with other unneeded assets, worth an estimated 90 million crowns. 4,000 buildings and land reportedly make up the sale. The company is currently holding a tender to find a strategic partner to orchestrate the deal. The winner of the tender should be known next February and will be expected to come up with a viable strategy. The property that the company wants to sell off currently costs Czech Railways hundreds of millions of crowns annually in maintenance and upkeep.
The first Škoda Citigo, a new small vehicle intended for zipping through city traffic as well as easy parking, has rolled off the assembly line in neighboring Slovakia, only the second Škoda model to first be manufactured abroad, following the Rapid in India. The three-door Citigo will be launched on the Czech market in late 2011, while other European countries will see its arrival in the summer of next year. A five-door version will also be available in 2012. Škoda Auto has called the Citigo one of the pillars of its growth strategy, paving the way for the company into the small cars market. The firm has boasted that despite its small size, the car offers more than enough legroom. The firm, not surprisingly, has also called its newest family member highly agile.
Speaking of cars or motoring, the transport minister Pavel Dobeš has proposed that so-called vanity license plates in the Czech Republic be made available for 5,000 crowns apiece. That's the equivalent of around $280. Until now, observers say the process of users getting special plates they wanted was highly non-transparent. The draft amendment proposing the changes, meanwhile, if passed, will raise other costs and small fees for car owners, among them the cost of replacement plates if they're lost or ripped off, a fee of some 600 crowns.
You're listening to Radio Prague, the international service of Czech Radio. Coming up next, in this edition of the Arts, Jan Wellinger talks to British theatre director David Pimer, who staged a series of plays by Harold Pinter in a legendary Prague theatre.
Thank you, Jan Richter. Now, David Pimer is a professor of theatre at the University College in the UK, and he's also involved with the Pinter Centre for Performance and Creative Writing in London. And in today's interview, Mr. Pimer discusses In Other Rooms. That's a production of lesser-known short plays by Nobel Prize laureate Harold Pinter, who died in 2008. While not as commonly or widely known as Pinter's most famous work, the short plays do come highly recommended, and Czech audiences will have a chance to see them this weekend when the production, which was co-directed by Pimer, comes to the Divadlo na Zábradlí here in Prague. I spoke to the director on a line to London, and he discussed both the plays as well as the overall role of the Pinter Centre.
The Pinter Centre was set up for a couple of reasons, and the one was to explore academically theatre, and not only Pinter's work, and secondly, to do professional work, and not only Pinter. We're just kick-starting the professional side of the work with his later short plays, and then after that, he wanted it to be any play from anywhere in the world. So we decided to choose these short, later plays, the plays that he wrote later in his life, because everybody knows the other plays, Caretaker, Homecoming, Birthday Party, and so on. And very, very few people know these plays. Some of them are 5 minutes long, some of them 15, 20 minutes, and so on. And we've chosen seven plays, which basically have a through line. They're the more, shall we say, political and absurd plays. Some of them are very funny and very witty, and they have a dark side, but also have a very, very witty, funny side. And we put them together under the overall dramaturgy of the party time. So the first play is the party time, and it's the sort of upper class British satire on those people having a party while all sorts of other devious things are happening all around. And then all these plays come out of the party time experience. So the other shorter plays come out of that, and the idea is to show this is the surface veneer of the society, the British society, but then underneath what's really going on. There may be violence, there may be torture, there may be all sorts of other things. So it's the plays that he wrote which are more social rather than just being very personal. And they're very short. So they're almost short snapshots, if you like.
That, of course, is a fascinating aspect of his work. And there are details which are recognizable there, obviously threat, comic menace. Those are elements that Pinter's readers and theatergoers will be very familiar with. Do you think that this aspect that is more political, or the fact that they are short plays and are necessarily more pointed, that that is something that will surprise first-time viewers?
I hope so, because I think it's still a comedy of menace. The reactions we've had so far in touring, this is on an 8-city tour of Europe, and after Prague it goes to Berlin. And the reaction so far has been incredibly positive, because people don't know these plays, and they've seen the humor in how he's satirizing not only the parties of the British upper class, but how he's satirizing what he calls the New World Order. You know, for example, you just see a minister giving a press conference, but it's done in a witty way. And then you see taxi driver speaking to the taxi boss, you know, a seven-minute short play. So, you know, there are many of these short plays. So the idea really is it's not just heavy, heavy political at all.
When The Caretaker, for example, was first produced, I believe it was 1961.
Yes.
And when he broke on to the British scene, a lot of these elements seemed very new, seemed very shocking. Do you think that these later plays basically update some of those elements for today? I guess what I'm asking is, has he even become more relevant than in say, the 1960s or 70s?
I think that's a really, really interesting question. And what we're hoping for, and one of the reasons we chose these plays, is partly the economic crisis happening in the world. And people are questioning, well, what is the world order? Well, what is actually going on? Not only with the bankers, but, you know, everywhere in societies. And I think that he, first of all, he cut his plays to be much shorter. And secondly, I think he started to be surprised that all these developments were happening all over globalization. Some of them very good, but also always what's happening in the dark corners, which is funny and grotesque. And I think that he is, as you say, relevant now because of what's going on in the world. I think it strikes a chord with many people. He did move with the times, and I think he foresaw what was coming in a way.
Now, when you approach these short plays, what were some elements that spoke to you or that you began to build upon when revisiting these texts?
Well, first, it's co-directed with the director of the Pinter Center, Robert Gordon. So we've co-directed together. And what we built on was we started with the idea of the party, because the first play is the party time. So it's not a sort of cabaret event. It's more driven by the dramaturgy of the overall concept being a party, and then but what's happening to other people who cannot get into the parties and maybe stuck in a prison or maybe stuck somewhere else or stuck on the road or relationship breaking down or relationship starting. So it's the people who are not part of this hypocritical upper-class social world, and then it's contrasted with those who are.
Now, Givadlo na Zapadli is a place where you've directed plays in the past. How do you view it as a venue for this particular project?
Well, just hope that people will enjoy it and, you know, get to be enriched by it. Na Zapadli, for me, has fantastic feeling, besides the history of it, obviously. I think it has fantastic potential. And I just, you know, wish that, you know, Na Zapadli can continue doing the kinds of work that they have been and that they used to do, groundbreaking new work, trying different things. I mean, they're trying to do some things in English. They're trying to do other things in different styles, I think, performances, directors from other countries. So I think they're trying to be connected to the world, but being rooted in Prague, obviously. For us, it's very special. I'm originally South African, and there's a theatre in Johannesburg, the Market Theatre, which has a similar reputation, because it also was the one theatre where we stood up against, you know, the apartheid system, and was banned, and many things happened to it and problems. So there are these theatres around the world which have this international reputation.
There is, of course, this connection between Na Zapadli and the Czech Republic's own famous playwright, Václav Havel, former president. Would you say that Havel himself worked in similar areas as Pinter, that there are some similarities between their plays?
I think definitely. I mean, they were actually, they were close friends as well, Pinter and Mr. Havel. And Pinter really tried to lobby for his release together with some of the other playwrights and to make his name international to try and help. And he was very active in that way, Pinter. So I think that in terms of the plays, I think the only major difference is that Mr. Havel's writing from more lived experience of the absurd and living that the absurdities. Whereas I think with Pinter, it's more of a almost philosophical question. I mean, he was living in a democracy. He wasn't living in communism. So I think it's different, but it also connects. But I think Mr. Havel's plays come from a more lived experience. And I think that the second difference is Pinter's plays, he tries to cut down and absolutely minimize the language, whereas with Mr. Havel, it comes from a literary tradition more. So he's, I think the word and the language is actually more, maybe more important. Whereas I think for Pinter, it was just give the one phrase, absolutely minimize the language. I think those are the major differences, maybe similarities. And I think this word absurd for both of them, it can be misleading. Because it's not so absurd or bleak or just dark or heavy. There's a lot of humor and wit and, you know, strangeness and mystery. And the other thing I think that Pinter, because he was an actor, so he's very aware of dramatic structure and playing with dramatic tension and dramatic humor because he comes from a tradition of being an actor, whereas Mr. Havel comes from a more literary tradition. So I think that changes the way each writes.
Jan Wellinger was talking there to the British theatre director David Beamer. We are now rounding off our English language programme with a rerun of our popular miniseries Soundcheck, this one brought to you by Iva Vokurková.
Tak dlouho seď pánem, až jucho upadne, jablko od stromu daleko nepadne, než holub na střeše líp vrabec hrsti, tohle mi jde proti zrsti.
Hello and welcome to another edition of Soundcheck, which today will be particularly nourishing when it comes to Czech idioms. The song you'll be listening to is called Pořekadla, or Sayings, and as the title rightly suggests, the song is packed with them. But before we listen out for the first one, let me tell you that the voice you are about to hear belongs to the popular Czech folk singer Babi Daněk.
Tak dlouho seď pánem, až jucho upadne, jablko od stromu daleko nepadne, než holub na střeše líp vrabec hrsti, tohle mi jde proti srsti.
Tak dlouho seď pánem, až ucho upadne, is a short version of the proverb that goes chodit tak dlouho seď pánem pro vodu, až se ucho utrhne, or to keep going for water with a jug until the handle falls off, which can be best compared to the English saying to push your luck. For example, a husband who's been unfaithful for 100 times and got away with it should not be surprised when she files for divorce after he's done it for 101st time, because that's when the handle fell off. But let's hear what other expressions Babi Daněk has for us.
Tak dlouho seď pánem, až ucho upadne, jablko od stromu daleko nepadne, než holub na střeše líp vrabec hrsti, tohle mi jde proti srsti.
You already know that the meaning of the proverb jablko od stromu daleko nepadne, the apple doesn't fall far from the apple tree, typically used to describe parents and kids. Like when the father is an excellent surgeon, it hardly comes as a surprise that the son is doing well at medical school, naturally, because the apple does not fall far from the tree. Have a listen to the next phrase.
Tak dlouho seď pánem, až jucho upadne, jablko od stromu daleko nepadne, než holub na střeše líp vrabec hrsti, tohle mi jde proti srsti.
Než holub na střeše, líp vrabec v hrsti. Or as the English saying goes, a bird in the hand is worth two in the bush. But in Czech, we are more specific. We say that holding a sparrow in your hand is preferable to a pigeon sitting on the roof. Why so? Well, the pigeon is certainly bigger than the sparrow, but it can fly away at any time and leave you empty-handed. But if you already have a little sparrow firmly in your grasp, not be content with that. As we also say in Czech, it's better to have at least something than nothing. And here is our final phrase for today.
Tak dlouho seď bánem, až ucho upadne, jablko od stromu daleko nepadne, než holub na střeše líp vrabec hrsti, tohle mi jde proti srsti.
When something is or goes against your hair or proti srsti, then you certainly don't like it. It is something you disagree with and feel uncomfortable about. When something is or goes against your hair or proti srsti, then you certainly don't like it. It is something you disagree with and feel uncomfortable about. Just as a dog does, I guess, when you stroke it against its hair. Well, I certainly hope that today's sound check did not go against your hair, but my time is up. This is Iva Vokurková saying goodbye and thanks for listening.
Tak dlouho seď bánem, až ucho upadne, jablko od stromu daleko nepadne, než holub na střeše líp vrabec hrsti, tohle mi jde proti srsti.
That edition of Soundcheck by Iva Vokurková brings us to the end of our program today. We always like to hear from you, so if you have any comments or questions, do get in touch. You can write us a letter to Vinohradská 12 12099 Prague 2, or send an email to english@radio.cz. But for now, for myself, Jan Richter, and all of us here at Radio Prague, thank you very much for joining us, and goodbye.